In this series of messages about the blessings of God, you and I have not only learned about the areas of God's blessings, the many areas in which God wants to bless us, but we've been discovering what we've just called the avenues of God's blessings. And that is the road that we need to go down, the avenues that we need to take, so that you and I might experience the blessings of God and all the blessings that He has purposed for us. God really wants to bless you, but you got to get on the right avenue if you want to experience all the blessings that God has for your life. We began by looking at the avenue of salvation. I've said to you that while God blesses all of His creation, and indeed He does, I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, while all of creation experiences a measure of God's blessings, it is those who are saved that experience the maximum blessings that God has and that God has purposed for humanity. It's those who are in Christ, ladies and gentlemen, that have received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And those who are blessed above all others are those who have gotten on the right avenue, the right path, the right road, the road of salvation, got off the wide road and have gotten on the narrow one that Jesus talked about. And now we're headed not for destruction, but we're on the road that leads to everlasting life. And what a blessing, what a blessed avenue that is, the avenue of salvation. Let me remind you, the only way to get off the wide avenue and get on the narrow avenue, that is to get off the road that leads to destruction and get on the one that leads to everlasting life, the only way is named Jesus. And it's what He did on that cross when He died for you and was raised the third day. There's no other way. It is just Him. When you come to Him, then you've entered through the gate and entered into, ladies and gentlemen, a brand new direction in life. It is indeed a salvation avenue that now you are on. Now listen, many of you, most of you maybe already have gotten onto the avenue of salvation. There may be some who haven't. And we pray that God will so deal with your heart and so convict you and let you see your lostness and your sin and your helplessness and bring you to the point that you can turn to Christ and trust in Him. But if you're already on salvation's avenue, then you're on the right road to experience the blessings of God. If you'll notice when you're traveling down this road, there's a few other avenues along the way that lead even more blessings in your life. As you travel the road of salvation's avenue, there's the avenue of humility. And as you and I humble ourselves like our Lord did, Jesus said, if you'll know and do what Jesus did when He humbled Himself and washed the disciples' feet, Jesus said, you'll be happy or you will be blessed. So it's a wonderful blessing to be able to humble yourself and to be able to serve others along the way. And there's the avenue of humility. I tell you, there's also the avenue of prayer that Jesus said that if you want to be able to receive, you got to ask. Ask and you'll receive, and seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. There are some blessings, ladies and gentlemen, that can only be experienced in the life of the believer and through consistent believing prayer. That is, you got to learn how to walk with God in prayer. If you want to be able to experience all these blessings of God, you're going to miss out on some things if you don't learn how to pray. So there's the avenue of prayer. I talked about the avenue of repentance. And that is, listen, if you want to be able to experience all the blessings of God, then you got to learn that there's roadblocks along the way. And the reason why is because there's things in our life that stop us and hold us back. But God's created another avenue for you to get on, to get around that. And that's called repentance. And that is to turn from that sin, that air of ungodliness in your life, that air of uncleanness, and to confess it for what it is and forsake it right where it is, and to turn to God for who He is and let Him continue to be Lord over that area of your life. And so that you can continue on the road to blessing in your life. There's the avenue of repentance. Remember 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name, if they will humble themselves, if they'll pray and seek my face, if they'll turn from their wicked ways, repentance, God said, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. I'll pour out blessings upon their land. The avenue of repentance. And so we began discovering in the service this morning another avenue that's important. And if you're on salvation's avenue, there's an avenue that leads to blessings in your life, and that is the avenue of obedience. The avenue of obedience, just obeying God. And ladies and gentlemen, I said to you in the service this morning that God expects for us to obey Him. And the expectation of obedience is laid out for us throughout the Scripture. And the reason why that God expects us to obey Him is twofold. Just to remind you, one of the reasons why is because of who God is. And that is, God really is God. And He's the only one there is. He's the one who created all things. He's the one who created humanity. He made everything that there is, including you and I. God designed us as human beings. And ladies and gentlemen, because of who He is, we ought to obey Him because He really is God. Now that ought to be reason enough for you and I to just say, you know, whatever God has said and revealed, that I want to just obey what God says. And the reason why is because of who He is. If you get to know the person of God, not only His power, but also His affection and love for you, you'll want to obey Him. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you love Him, one of the things that you'll do that demonstrates that love is you'll keep His commandments. You want to obey Him because you love Him. That is, when you get to know the person of God, that's reason enough to motivate obedience. Not only because of who God is, but also because of the way God wants to bless you. The reason why God has spoken and revealed to us direction for our life, the reason why He has given us boundaries around our lives, the reason why that God wants to obey what it is that He has told us, is so that we can be blessed. And that is the, listen, God's commands and direction and instructions for our life, ladies and gentlemen, is not to restrict us just for the sake of restriction, but it is so that we might not step in a bad direction and end up in trouble, is so that we might be blessed. Some of you may be, listen, some of you who are here or listening by other means, you may be struggling on the inside of you with some of the boundaries that God has set. God has said, don't do this, and God has said, do this, and you're struggling with those boundaries as though God is depriving you of something. No, God is trying to bless you with something better. And that's why you ought to obey Him, so you can experience God's best in your life, so that you really can experience the blessings of God. He wants to bless you, and that's the reason why that you ought to obey Him. Ladies and gentlemen, I preached to you a little bit about that. That is the expectation of obedience in the service of this morning. And then we began looking at some examples of obedience, and that is some of those who obeyed God. They obeyed Him. Now, let me just remind you of what obedience involves, and I'll get into more detail at another time. But I want to remind you that obedience involves your hearing. And that is, you can't obey God if you're not listening to what He's saying to you. You've got to hear the Word of God if you're going to obey God. You've got to know what God is saying. How can you know what you're supposed to do or not supposed to do if you're not hearing? You've got to hear. The Bible tells us over and over again the importance of hearing what it is that God is saying. Hey, that is, the Bible tells us, he that hath ears, let him hear. In the Revelation, in the message to the seven churches, over and over again, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You need to hear. It also involves our heart. And that is, as you and I hear the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, we need to submit ourselves to it. Hearing what God is saying and a heart that is submissive to whatever it is that God is revealing to us. Not a heart that's in rebellion, not a heart that is resisting what God is saying. That is, you might have a heart that's saying, the inside of you might be saying, I want to do what I want to do and I don't want God telling me what to do. I want to be able to do and live my own life. Listen to me now. You're going to miss out on the blessings of God. You're not going to obey God. You may be hearing what God is saying, but if your heart is not submissive, you're not going to be obedient. God, listen to me now. God wants you to obey Him from the heart. He doesn't want you just to obey Him out of fear of punishment, even though that is one motivation. But God wants you to obey Him from your heart, a heart that loves Him and is submissive to Him. It involves your hearing, it involves your heart, and it involves your hands. And that is what I mean by that is that as you and I hear from God, as our heart submits to what it is that God is revealing to us, then it is time to put our hands to work and do what it is that God is telling us to do. That's what obedience is. It involves our hearing, it involves our heart, and it involves our hands. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I discovered in the service this morning that that's what Noah did. That is the boat builder. He heard from God, he submitted to the Lord, and he got busy with his hands building that boat, and what a blessing it was. That is, to have that ark and enter into it, and God saved Noah and his family and all of humanity and animal life and created order. God restored it and saved it right there in that boat that he built. I tell you, when you look at the boat builder, what you're seeing is a man who is obedient to God. He obeyed God, as hard as it was, as difficult as it was, he obeyed God. There's the boat builder. I preached to you a little bit this morning about the famous father. That is the father that everybody knows about. It is Father Abraham. And that is that Abraham is a man who demonstrates obedience, ladies and gentlemen. And that is when God said, I want you to get up and leave your home and go to a land that I'll show you. Ladies and gentlemen, he started on a journey. He obeyed what God said. Now listen, if you get to chapter number 15, you'll find out that by obeying God, it led him right to the point of salvation. He got saved later on in chapter number 15. That is, he started obeying in chapter 12. He got saved in chapter 15, and then we saw the seriousness of his obedience in chapter number 22 when God told him to offer up his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. This guy was willing to give up everything to obey God. And what a blessing that it brought into his life. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know because of Abraham's faithful obedience to God, God raised up a nation. A nation that brought into the world the very Messiah, the Christ, that has redeemed me and redeemed most of you, that is all the nations of the earth, that is the world has been blessed. It's been blessed, ladies and gentlemen, and the blessing began with a promise to Abraham that he believed and obeyed. That is, we've got some great examples of obedience in the Bible. That is, we got the old boat builder named Noah. We've got the famous father named Abraham, and one of them that I like is the legendary leader. The legendary leader. There is a leader in the Old Testament, ladies and gentlemen, that stands out as a legend, and his name is Joshua. Joshua was a great leader, and the reason why is because he's the one who led the Israelites, ladies and gentlemen, led them from the wilderness across the Jordan River and into the promised land. He was a great leader. He was a great leader long before he became the primary leader. He learned to be a leader, that is Joshua, just for the sake of those of you that would love to be a leader. He learned to be a leader while he was still under the authority of Moses. As a matter of fact, if he didn't learn how to be a leader before he became a leader, he couldn't have been a leader. Now you ought to get a hold of that, because if you'd like to be a leader, you got to learn how to be one. And if you want to learn how to be one, you better get under the authority of one who is. And you better do some learning. And he did. This man Joshua was one of the two men that stood alongside of Moses and Aaron. When everybody turned against them, they stood firm. When everybody else is saying that we can't take the land, Joshua and Caleb stood right beside Moses and Aaron and said, yes, we can. That is, when everybody voted no, they were voting yes. When everybody said we shouldn't do it, they said we ought to do it. When everybody is saying that we don't have the resources to do it, they are saying God will provide the resources. That's this man named Joshua. He's learning how to be a leader, and the reason why is because he's walking alongside of one of the greatest leaders ever to walk this planet, that is a man named Moses. Now I want you to know the reason why that Joshua learned, how he learned to be such a good leader. And that is walking alongside of and under the authority of and being faithful to God's man Moses, he learned how to listen to God. He learned how to hear from God. And that is when God was speaking, guess who was listening? Moses was, and Joshua's right there seeing it all. And that is, he learned this lesson, and that is, if you're going to do anything for God that amounts to anything, ladies and gentlemen, that has eternal consequences, then you better be listening to what God is saying. And listen to me now, when God speaks to you, you better submit your heart to what God has said. If it seems crazy and impossible, just go ahead and submit to what he said. Hey, it might be that you're standing alongside the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army behind you, and everything looks bleak, and everybody is sad and crying and thinking this is the end of the road. But listen to me now. If God says hold your rod out, just hold your rod out and just stand there, and it might be that God will just send a wind and divide the waters and let you cross on dry ground. It might seem the craziest thing in the world, but Joshua learned by standing with Moses that if you'll listen to God and if you'll do what God says to do, if you'll submit your heart and then put your hands to the task, it might be nothing more than holding a rod. But if that's what God puts in your hand and that's what God tells you to do, then get your hands to work. Joshua's seeing all of that. As a young man, he's seeing Moses and seeing God working, and he's learning and he's growing. This is a man, ladies and gentlemen, that's is willing to sacrifice. He's a man that is willing to trust God. He's a man willing to walk by faith. And that's what it takes to be a leader. So there came that day whenever Moses, it was time for Moses to leave this planet and leave this earth. God's not going to let him lead the Israelites after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Joshua's right there. That is, as God said to Moses, that entire generation of Israelites, except for Joshua and Caleb, are going to die off in the wilderness, including Moses and his brother. They're going to die there and are not going to enter into the promised land. And Joshua's seeing it happen. And that is, every day there's a funeral going on among the Israelites. Sometimes it's the judgment of God that has brought death to a multitude of people, and other times it is those that are just dying of natural causes in the wilderness. God is taking them down one by one. They're dying, and Joshua's learning that if you want to be a leader, sometimes you got to bury the dead in order to raise up those who are willing to obey God. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to me now. If you're going to be a leader, there are some things you got to put in the past. There are some things you got to bury. There are some things you got to walk away from so that you can move forward for the glory of God. When God takes His hand off of something, then you've got to walk away from it. When God takes something away, like He did in the wilderness as that generation is dying, when God starts taking away, you better walk away and get to where God is operating. He's operating in the next generation. They're growing up. They're going to be heading into the land, and they've got a leader growing up among them. His name is Joshua. He's seeing all of that happen. As he's walking alongside Moses, and there came that time, Moses now is getting ready to leave, and God already has a leader ready to go. And the reason why he's ready to go is because God's been growing him into a leader over the past decades, so that now he can lead the Israelites. And Moses went home, and God put his hand on Joshua, and Joshua was appointed and anointed as the next leader. And ladies and gentlemen, he did. He led them, ladies and gentlemen, up to the Jordan River. And God said, it's time for you to lead them across the river. Tell the people to sanctify themselves, to get themselves set apart and ready. Get the Ark of the Covenant ready and the priests that are carrying it. And tell them to go ahead and step out into the water. Now, it's flood stage. My understanding is there's a lot of water in the Jordan River right about now. And God said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead and do what I tell you to do. And if there's anything that Joshua's learned, that is, when God says something, you better just submit and get at it. And so they did. They started walking, ladies and gentlemen. About the time they got to the Jordan River, the waters parted for them to cross over on dry ground once again. Under Joshua's leadership, they crossed over, got on the other side, and before long, God said, Joshua, it's time to take down the big fortified city there, that is Jericho itself. And God spoke and said, here's the battle plan. You remember, don't you? Here's the battle plan. And that is, I want you to take the people, march around the city, and every day, 7 days, seven times the seventh day, blow your trumpets, shout the praise, give God the glory, and the walls will come tumbling down. And when the walls come down, I want you to destroy everything on the inside of the city. The judgment of God is upon this city. Now listen, that's not much of a battle plan for those of you that have any kind of military experience or watch Fox News. And you say, Pastor, that didn't sound much like a plan to me. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that a leader learns, like Joshua, that is, listen, if God says do it, you better get on it. You better do it. Just obey God. And if you'll obey Him, guess what? You might see a great blessing. You say, what kind of blessing will you see? You might see the walls come down. That is, the enemy has built these walls. And ladies and gentlemen, there's a God in heaven that can destroy every wall the enemy has built. It's not a problem for God to destroy them. He can bring down the walls. He can destroy the enemy. He can remove it out of your way so that you can march forward for the glory of God in victory. And if there's anybody willing to believe like Rahab, God will save them along the way. But God can destroy what the enemy has built. He sure can. And He'll use you to do it. If you'll obey God, you can see those kinds of blessings. Now, I love what the Bible gives us, sort of a summary statement about this legendary leader in Joshua chapter number 11. Listen to what it says. Let me just read it to you real quick in Joshua 11, verse 15. Here's what it says. Joshua 11 and verse number 15, it says, as the Lord commanded Moses his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. That is, everything that God said to Moses, Moses gave to Joshua. Now, that didn't happen all at one sitting, ladies and gentlemen. That happened over a period of decades, like I've said before. And that is, that Joshua figured if he was going to be able to become a great leader, that he needed to hang around with a great leader named Moses, God's man. And Moses spoke to Joshua all the things that God said to him. And the Bible says in verse number 15, and so did Joshua. That is, what God said to Moses, Moses gave to Joshua. And Joshua did it. He did it. Listen to this. He left nothing undone. Of all that the Lord commanded Moses, Joshua didn't leave anything undone. This man was focused on obeying God in detail. He was. Well, if he'd been living in our day, we would have given him a label. We would have said, that is, there would be people gathering and say, Joshua is OCD. That's what we would have said. This guy, when it comes to, listen, he is obsessive and compulsive about what it is that these commands that God gave. Can't he just let up a little bit? Why is he so focused on obeying God's commands? I tell you the reason why. It's because he knows who God is, and he knows that's the only way to blessing is to obey God and to do it completely and thoroughly. He didn't leave anything undone. The Bible says in verse 16, it gives us some more detail about some of the specific things that is being referred to here. The Bible says, so Joshua took all that land, the hills and all the south country and all the land of Goshen and the valley and the plain and the mountains of Israel and the valleys of the same, even from Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, even unto Baal-Gad in the valley of Lebanon, under Mount Hermon, and all their kings he took and smote them and slew them. Joshua. You say, what did he do? What did Moses tell him? Moses gave him specific instructions about taking the land of Canaan that God had promised to them. And God's going to give him the land, and God's going to give him specific instructions about how to divide the land among the tribes. And I tell you that this man, Joshua, obeyed in detail what God revealed to Moses. He just obeyed God. He didn't leave anything undone, the Bible tells us here. And what a blessing it was. Now they're living in the land. They were living in the wilderness, wandering around in tents, ladies and gentlemen, and eating manna every day and quail a couple of times. But I'll tell you, now they're living in the land. And they are experiencing the land that flows with milk and honey. The blessings of God are flowing. And the reason why it is, ladies and gentlemen, is because the people of Israel followed a legendary leader named Joshua. And the reason why he's such a great leader is because he obeyed God. What an example for all of us. And that is, the avenue that leads to blessing is an avenue called obedience. Well, we have this legendary leader. Let's move on to the New Testament. Look at a few examples there. And that is starting out with what I would just call the prized parents. The prized parents. In Matthew chapter number 1, you'll meet them. That is, in the very first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew in the New Testament, you'll read about those parents that we today prize. They're valuable and to us. And we love and appreciate them. We talk about them at least one season out of the year. And the parents that I'm talking about are the parents of our Lord himself. And this, I'm talking about Mary and Joseph. And do you know that one of the things that stands out about Mary and Joseph, ladies and gentlemen, is that they are a couple who are insistent about obeying God. If you read about Mary's experience in Luke chapter number 2, Matthew and Luke tells us the story about these two. Luke focuses on Mary, and Matthew focuses on Joseph. And then Luke chapter number 2, you remember that the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came to Mary and said, Mary, you're highly favored. Among them, blessed art thou. That is, you are a blessed woman and highly favored. And the reason why is because you've been chosen to be the one to conceive and bring the Messiah into the world. You're going to conceive a son. You name him Jesus. And he's going to be the one that's going to rule over the house of Jacob forever. And the Bible says there that after the angel spoke to her, she said, I don't see how this is going to happen. I'm not in a relationship with a man. She has a spoused husband, but their marriage has not been consummated. How am I going to have a baby, conceive a baby? And the Bible says the angel said to her, listen, the power of the highest is going to come upon you and overshadow you. The Spirit of God is going to move upon you. And that which is conceived in you is going to be by the Holy Spirit, a divine miracle of God conceived in the womb of Mary, the Son of God conceived in her womb, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, just so you'll know, yeah, that is your cousin Elizabeth, you know, the one who's well stricken in years now. She's also conceived, and she's far getting far along in her pregnancy. That is, she hadn't been pregnant before, and she's old now, but now she's going to have a baby. So listen to me now. With God, nothing is impossible. And if God can cause her to conceive in her old age, and God can move upon you, Mary, and cause you to conceive without the aid, without the participation of a man. And he did, and Jesus was conceived in her womb. And I love what Mary said. She said this. Don't you like it in Luke 2? The Bible says in Luke 1, she said, be it unto me. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And I want you to see her submissive heart. She not only had a hearing ear, but she had a submissive heart. She sure did. She was ready to obey what God had revealed to her. But it wasn't just her. It wasn't just Mary. It was Joseph as well. And God not only chose Mary to be the one who would be birthing the Son of God into the world, but he also chose this man, Joseph, to be the guardian over this beloved son, the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, it's in Matthew chapter number 1 that you and I are first introduced to this man. Notice what it says in verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. That is, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost, as I just said. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just or a righteous man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. In other words, this man would have been righteous in doing so. The Old Testament law allowed that if you were getting ready to marry somebody and you found some uncleanness, unfaithfulness in them, that you could end that relationship. And he would have been righteous in doing that, but he was a compassionate man, and he didn't want to do it publicly, which would have been allowed for him to do. He could have publicly humiliated her, but he would not do it. But while he thought on these things, he's thinking about how he's going to put her away or divorce her or end this relationship. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, that is, Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and they shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's listening to God. God is speaking to him, ladies and gentlemen, in a vision and saying, here's what I want you to do, Joseph. I want you to go ahead and marry Mary. Something has happened to her that's never happened to anybody before that time, and no, not since. And that is that she has conceived a child, but it's not because she's been unfaithful to you. It's because the Holy Ghost moved upon her, and she conceived miraculously. And this child that's conceived in her womb is indeed the Christ, the promised Messiah. His name is Jesus. I want you to call him Jesus. He's going to save people from their sins. Go ahead and marry her. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that if people back then are anything like they are today, he probably was getting good advice from his friends and other people in his family and saying, Joseph, you don't want to marry somebody. You don't want to marry somebody that's going to be unfaithful to you. I mean, she's conceived and she's been unfaithful and you shouldn't be marrying her. You should just move on and find somebody who's going to be faithful to you. Listen, that'd be the advice that most of us in this room probably would be giving to Joseph. But I tell you that God spoke to him and said, something has happened that's never happened before, and that is, she hasn't been unfaithful to you. Instead, she is conceived supernaturally by the Son of God. Go ahead and marry her. So the Bible says in verse 24, Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And after he married her, the Bible says he knew her not. That is, he didn't have a relationship with her until she brought forth the firstborn son, and they called him Jesus. You know what he did? He just obeyed God, didn't he? And aren't you glad? Bless your M. And what an example this man, ladies and gentlemen, really is to us. That is, these prized parents, though you and I value so much. And by the way, that's not the end of his obedience. Look on in chapter number 2 and notice with me what the Bible says in verse number 13. And when they were departed, that is, when the wise men departed from the house where Mary and Joseph and the baby were at, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Joseph, here's what I want you to do. Here's the next plan. The angel of the Lord said, marry her. He said, I'll marry her. And now he said, now I want you to move out of your hometown, that is your place of your ancestral home, that is Bethlehem, where they were staying. And I want you to go into a strange land. I want you to go into a foreign country. That is, I want you to go down into Egypt, and I want you to stay there. And the reason why is because Herod's going to try to kill the Lord Jesus. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what your response might be, but I'm going to want to think about that for a little while. Leaving home and going to a strange country. You say, how long are you going to be there? I don't know. God said, just go until I tell you otherwise. Just go. You say, well, how am I going to get everything packed up? Well, you just take your wife and your baby and maybe the gold and frankincense and myrrh too. I don't know. I think that'll carry you through. Wouldn't that be amazing if God did all of that just to get them through that time? Just go. But God, I'm going to be a stranger in a foreign land. Just go. Well, the Bible says in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt. He just did what God said to do. And that's not the end of his obediences either. If you keep reading in chapter number 2, you'll notice in verse number 19, the Bible says, but when Herod was dead, that is later on Herod died, and behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Here he is again. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And you know what he did. The Bible says he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. He sure did. He stayed in Egypt till God spoke to him again. Listen, this man is living a life of obedience, isn't he? He's not moving anywhere until God speaks to him. After the baby was born, they stayed in Bethlehem for a time until God spoke to him and said, go to Egypt. He went down to Egypt and he stayed there for however long it was, probably a few months. He stayed there until God spoke to him again and said, I want you to leave Egypt and get back into the land of Israel. When they got into Israel, ladies and gentlemen, they ended up in their former hometown of Nazareth, where our Lord Jesus was raised. He is the Nazarene from Nazareth. And you know the reason why he is? Because this man, Joseph, obeyed God. He obeyed him. And in so doing, he set an example for all of us. What a blessing it was for him to be able to go down into Egypt. Our Lord was saved from that slaughter in Bethlehem that Herod brought upon all those little children 2 years old. And aren't you glad he didn't find Jesus and kill him as a little child? You say, well, Pastor, he couldn't have done that, but he wouldn't do it. And the reason why he wouldn't is because he wasn't there. And the reason why he wasn't there is because there's a man obeying God. And his name is Joseph. I'm just trying to tell you that if you want to be blessed, if you want to be in the right place at the right time, if you want to be blessed by God, then just obey him. We see it, ladies and gentlemen, here with these prized parents. Let's continue to explore some of the examples, and that is, there's also the appointed apostles. The appointed apostles. And that is, when you get to reading here the New Testament, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus decided to choose some disciples to follow him. And some of those disciples that he chose, he also chose 12 of them to be his apostles. And do you know one of the things that characterized these apostles of our Lord, with the exception of Judas Iscariot, obviously, but one of the things that characterized them is their obedience to the Lord. And it's just sort of started out that way. And as the Bible tells us in Matthew's gospel in chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 18, Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, you know the scene, don't you? You know the story. You've read it before. The Bible says they're out there, they're fishing with their net, and Jesus sees them. He's watching them, Peter and Andrew. He's met them before, according to John 1. And now he sees them out there casting their nets. It's Andrew, who was a disciple of John the Baptist, and John pointed to Jesus, and he and Jesus spent the day together, and he became to believe on the Lord Jesus, and then he went and found his brother, Simon Peter, and introduced him to Christ, and they became believers. But now here they are, these two brothers, and like many of us as well, that is those of us who are believers, they're just living their normal life. That is, they're out there fishing. They're doing their job. That's how they made their living and took care of their family. We know that at least Peter was married, and maybe Andrew was as well. And they got a family, and they're just doing their job, just like you do your job. That is, you make your money, how you earn your living, whatever it might be. And that's what they're doing. Listen, they've met the Lord. They believed on Him. And now they're just living a normal, ordinary life, doing their job. And Jesus has decided to make them extraordinary disciples, to appoint them as His apostles. And so He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow me. I want you to leave your job. I want you to leave your boat and your nets and all of that. And I want you to go where I go and do what I do. I want you to follow me. And guess what I'll do if you do? I'm really going to bless you. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Now, if that had been me, I'm just going to be confessional to you a little bit. If the Lord would come along and say to me, I want you to follow me, and I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Follow me. I probably would have told him, well, now, Lord, I need to go home and talk to my wife about this. You know, she might want to know about this. I'm going to want to give my kids a call and say, hey, Dad's going to be gone for a little while, and I don't know who's going to run the store and take care of things. As a matter of fact, somebody might want to check on the house. Somebody needs to pick up the mail. I want to take care and make sure somebody picks up the mail. And by the way, just so you know, I know it's a little chilly out right now, but it's not going to be long. Somebody's going to have to come over and mow my yard. I mean, I want to get all this set up. I want to make sure that everything is taken care of. That is, if I'm going to follow Jesus and be gone for a while, away from my business and away from my residence, then I want to make sure that everything is sort of set up. It's going to take me a little while to get that set up, Lord, and then I'll be ready. Not these guys. The Bible says in verse number 20, and they straightway, the word straightway means immediately, immediately left their nets and followed Him. I hope that you can start seeing a pattern among those that God really blessed and used. And that is that they're learning to obey. By the way, they're not the only ones. Verse 21 says, going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother in a ship. By the way, Zebedee their father, he's in the ship, they're mending their nets, and he called them, probably said the same thing, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And like the other two brothers, they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, I just have to be honest with you, if I was sitting there in the ship, my dad was there, and we're mending the nets, and we got this family business, I might think to myself for a moment, you know, I probably ought to make sure the dad's going to be taken care of here before I leave. I at least need to give him a ride home. I need to go buy him a cell phone so I can at least talk to him and text him while I'm gone. Don't I? Not these guys. The Bible says they immediately left him right there in the boat. And they started following Jesus. By the way, they're not the only ones. In the same book, in chapter number 9, and verse number 9, listen what the Bible says. As Jesus passed from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. He's a tax collector. He's doing his business, and he said to him, follow me. And you know what he did? The Bible says he arose. He got up right then, right there. He arose and followed him. Jesus just spoke two words, and it changed the entire course of this man's life. He just did what Jesus said to do. Now listen, if I had a place of business, if I was a tax collector like Matthew and I had a place of business and I was doing my business and collecting my taxes, and the Lord came along and said, follow me, I would probably ask something like this, well, where are you going? If I follow you, where's it going to end up at? I mean, how am I going to make a living? How am I going to take care of things? And where are you going and where's all this going to end up? I might ask some questions like that, ladies and gentlemen. But somehow, this man Matthew just got up and followed him. I'm trying to give you a picture of what obedience looks like. These men, ladies and gentlemen, were chosen and appointed as apostles. And I'm so glad, aren't you? Oh, isn't Peter a blessing? Oh, he is. He is. Listen, this man is a blessing to all of us. When I read 1 and 2 Peter, I say, what a blessing, what a blessing. What an example this man was named Peter. He was a blessing to the early church, providing leadership and strength for the early church. This man, Peter, did. Aren't you thankful to God for what we read about Andrew, always bringing somebody to Jesus in the Bible? What a blessing he was, bringing people to Jesus. Read about him in the Scriptures. And what about James? Man, he's a great man of God. Listen, this guy, ladies and gentlemen, lived for God and became a leader among the early believers, the first martyr that we read about in Acts chapter number 12. And what about John? What a blessing John is. Don't you love when you start reading the Bible? I love the Gospel of John. And what about the letters 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John? And what about that revelation at the end of our Bible? You're talking about a blessing. Well, this man John, he was indeed a blessed man. The reason why is because it was a time in his life when he learned just to obey God. The appointed apostles. I love reading about them in the early church, about their radical obedience to God. That is, the apostles, they just obeyed God. Even under stress, and even when there was pressure on them not to, they did anyway. Remember this one in Acts chapter number 5? And that is, after they had been preaching, there was a man that was healed, a lame man, by the gate of the temple, and he went leaping and running and praising God in the temple, and people gathered around Peter and John. They began to preach to them, and people started getting saved, and they got arrested and were commanded not to do any more preaching about Jesus, and they didn't have the authority to go around healing people, and they were demanded to stop, and they just would not stop. They kept on doing it, and so they got arrested again in Acts chapter number 5. And the Bible tells us that they appeared now a second time before the Jewish leaders. And the Bible says in verse number 27, when they brought them, they set them before the council, the Jewish council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? Yes, they did. And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine or your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Did we tell you not to stop teaching about the resurrection? You're going around telling everybody that this Jesus that we condemned to be crucified, that this Jesus has risen from the dead and he is our Messiah, and you make us look really bad. If there's one thing the politicians don't like, is to be made look bad. Why are you doing this? We commanded you to stop and you have not stopped. And Peter said in verse number 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. They sure said, sorry, but we're not stopping. We're going to keep on telling everybody about Jesus and about his resurrection from the dead. Those in authority said, you cannot do that here. And they said, sorry, we've got to obey God. You say, man, that's what I would have done, would you? I mean, if your employer came up to you and said, listen, if you don't quit talking about Jesus in this workplace, I'm going to have to let you go. What would you do? If you were at school and the teachers and the principal said, listen, you can't go around telling people about Jesus here at school or we're going to have to reprimand you, and what would you do? If you're getting ready for a family gathering, whether it be at a holiday or at another time, and you get the word from the matriarch or the patriarch of the family, contacts you and said, look, if you're going to come to our family gathering, witness and tell people about Jesus like you did last time, then just don't come. What would you do? That's where these guys are at. That's their position. Am I going to obey God or not? That is, am I going to share the gospel with everyone or am I not? Ladies and gentlemen, they chose to obey God, and what a blessing came down their way as a result of that. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Everybody's hearing about Jesus now. Why, at the end of all of this, in verse number 40, the Bible says, and to him they agreed, when they called the apostles, they beat them. And they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let him go. Now they've been beaten, they've been commanded not to tell about Jesus, and guess what they did? They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name, and daily in the temple and every house they ceased not. They wouldn't stop teaching, they wouldn't stop preaching about Jesus. You know what that is? That is obedience. Amen. That's what it is. You say, well, was it a blessing or was it not? Well, the Bible says in chapter number 6, the Bible tells us there in verse number 7, and the word of God increased and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and even a great company of the priest, Jewish priest, were obedient to the faith. Multitudes of people are turning to Christ. You say, why are they? Because there are some apostles who are going to obey God, and others as well, that are going to obey God no matter what man says. It's that kind of obedience, ladies and gentlemen, that's the avenue that leads to blessing. You say, I sure would like to see a lot of people get saved, then we've got to do a lot of witnessing, don't we? We're going to have to obey the Lord and tell people about the Lord Jesus and about what true conversion is, about how to be saved. Got to obey him. You say, well, Pastor, people might get offended. I know it hurts. I know it cuts deep like a knife. I know when the gospel is shared, people get pricked in their hearts and some get real defensive. But are we going to obey or not? Obedience leads to blessing. I'm trying to give you some examples of the principle that I'm trying to teach you. We've been looking at the legendary leader Joshua, the prized parents, Mary and Joseph, the appointed apostles, here in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. Man, I love that effective evangelist. Do you know there's an evangelist right here in the book of Acts in chapter number 8 that was powerful and effective? God used him and blessed him greatly. You might remember his name. His name is Philip. Now, I'm going to tell you that Philip learned how to be a great man of God when he was hanging around in the early church, got saved, was walking around the apostles and learning how to obey God by the apostles. And there came a point whenever persecution broke out against the church and the believers got scattered from Jerusalem. And this man, Philip, ladies and gentlemen, went all the way to Samaria. And the Bible says in verse number 5 of chapter number 8, he preached Christ unto them. And I tell you that there was much rejoicing, many people being saved. There was real spiritual awakening taking place in Samaria. The Bible says the people with one accord in verse number 6 gave heed to those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Unclean spirits cried with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many were taken with palsies and the lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. I'll tell you, God was moving in that city. And verse 26 says, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, go down the south unto the way that goeth from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Let me abbreviate for the sake of time. God showed up and said, guess what, Philip? It's time for you to move along here. I want you to go down south, that is to the desert in Gaza. I want you to move down there. I want you to leave Samaria where people are being saved, where there's great spiritual awakening, and I want you to go down where there's no people at. To a desert. Nobody lives there. Now, if it had been me, I'd be thinking, now, God, this doesn't make sense to me. I'm not really sure why you would tell me that. That doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you tell me to leave where I'm at, where great things are happening, to go somewhere where nobody even lives? That's what I would do. I said, let me think about that for a moment. But not this guy. The Bible just says, he arose and went. That's it. He just got up and he went. You know what that is? That is obedience. And you know who he ran into down there? He ran into a caravan that included a eunuch from Ethiopia, an important official. And God spoke to him again and told him to draw near to this man's chariot. And when he got close to him, he was reading from Isaiah 53. And ladies and gentlemen, he asked him if he understood what he was reading. He said, how can I except some man help me understand? He hooked up with him and began to tell him, the Bible says, begin to preach Christ unto him. And do you know that before the day was over, That man believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He believed and was baptized and went on his way rejoicing. And guess what happened? Blessing of all blessings, ladies and gentlemen, the gospel has now moved all the way now to the continent of Africa in the Ethiopian eunuch. And you know the reason why? It's because there was a man who obeyed God. Say, Pastor, I sure would like to experience God's blessings. Then you've got to get on the avenue of obedience. Hearing, a heart that submits, and hands that do what God's saying to do. Let me ask you this question. Has God been speaking to you about something? Why don't you just go ahead and surrender and obey? You say, Pastor, I'd like to do what I know God's speaking to me about. I really would, but I'm scared. Don't you not think these folks were scared? You say, I've never done it before. Well, these folks hadn't either. Would you just surrender to what God is saying and obey Him? If you'll get on the avenue of obedience, it'll lead to blessing. And God really wants to bless you. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word and Your people and what You're saying to us and how You're working in us. God, I pray the Spirit of God would move in this place. God, those, Father, who need to get surrendered would. And, Father, those who need to get up and obey, that they'd obey. Whatever You're saying, however You're working, whatever Your will is. Father, thank You for what You're about to do. Pray for those that are lost, that You'd prick their hearts, bring them to the end of themselves, Father, as only You can. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.